views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the Pando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from LA, coming to you live from region number 6. Today is April the 1st, 2019. It is a Monday, and we have a live show for you today. At any time, if you'd like to get in on a conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to get in. We'd love to hear from you today. So it's a Monday, a manic Monday, so we're going to go ahead and get started. But before we do that, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network. What's up, Keith? Definitely go there and go to the website for the network, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, and hit the donation prompt that you'll see there at the website. Or the best way to support the network is actually become a member inside of this social media platform known as BTR Community. And you can find that at www.btrcommunity.com. For only $24 a year, one-time annual fee of $24, you can become a member. And there you can post things about you, your business, or things that you think need to be highlighted and supported. Definitely should do that there. And it is a more holistic way. You don't have to worry about your identity being sold or someone looking at your overall profile to determine excluding you from something. And that's what really, really happens on the other mainstream ones. And that's the cost. And it's a lot of other costs as well. But, you know, I saw one person, and I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty much, I don't have a Twitter account, or if I do have one, I don't know, I don't use it or anything else. I'm really off of social media, and I never would have gotten on it if it wasn't for our RDP organization that got me into that stuff, because they said it would be easier for me to get information to individuals. And so I kind of capitulated and went ahead and for the overall good of it all. And so it was the only reason why I was there. But I think that, you know, unwinding from social media and getting off of the mainstream media platforms is very, very important, because they're really detrimental in so many different ways, and how they came about. And the reason why they exist is, in my opinion, is something that should be concerning to us all.
Hey, good morning, because Dave.
Good morning, Scotty. What's going on, bro?
Hey, I'm doing the best I can. Let me explain it the way Brother Kwabena and I explain it. For those that don't know who Brother Kwabena Rasuli is, he's the founder of Clear the Airways Project, based in Gary, Indiana, but does most of his work in Chicago. and so in that Chicago area, but he works with people across the country and organizations. And that's to get, when he's talking about clearing the airways, he's talking about clearing the terrestrial FM radio, publicly licensed, you know, when your local radio station, yep, when you turn it on in the car, to clear it of obscene and violent, misogynistic, yes, music that's being brought to you by who? These major corporations advertising on that. You know, you may have heard the news about the shooting in Los Angeles of Nipsey Russell yesterday or last night or this morning, whenever it was. I believe it was yesterday evening it happened. And you know, that type of music promotes that type of behavior. You know, not saying that it's the cause of the behavior, but it does promote a certain lifestyle, certain choices that lead people to these outcomes and what have you. Not talking about him specifically, but that's what Clear the Airways Project and other groups are like. They just launched a campaign. Please check out BTR News podcast, Respect Us, the Respect Us campaign, where you have even churches coming together and boycotting major corporations that's on these urban radio stations promoting that trash, that poison, as Brother Quabner. So Quabner listens to these stations. Somebody has to listen to these stations in order to know what's going out to the people. I can't do it. I can only take so much. You know what I'm saying? I listen to old school hip hop. I listen to R&B. I listen to music that's going to bring me out of a funk and not put me one into a funk or you know, have negative bad vibrations going through my body, you know, entering through my ears. So I don't listen to terrestrial hip hop, rap, or whatever you want to call it, radio, but he does. And, you know, and there's emotional and I feel like psychological cost to that. So what am I saying? I'm saying that some of us have to be on Twitter. Some of us have to be on Facebook because of our jobs and because we're trying to always, you know, keep an eye on what the enemy's doing and what have you. But if your job don't require you to, it might be a reason why you don't have a job. It's because of what you're posting under your real name on Facebook, which Facebook tries to make that a requirement, is that you use your real name and what have you. But then all the nefarious things that's going on, the things that now Zuckerberg, check this out. Now Zuckerberg talking about we got too much power. Who is we? You know, talking about internet platforms. Who is we? Black Talk Radio ain't got that much power. You got the power. You the billionaire sitting over there facilitating, you know, government spying and censorship and all kind of discrimination and racism, as the latest article came out that said they were enabling people to practice racism by excluding black people from job offers, employment, housing, and stuff like that. So, you know, that's a reason not to be on there if you're not on there because you have to be. Because you have to be. But on my personal profile, I post less and less. If it ain't on Black Talk Radio Network's page where we have 25,000 followers, then I'm not really posting on it. Except if it's, I happen to log on there and one of my relatives has contacted me about something. But at the same time, I still have to acknowledge, though, I'm still part of the problem. And so I got to rectify that, man. Got to find another way. But that's how I try to compare BTR community to these other social media platforms, is what are these platforms? Who are they empowering? Who are they enriching? And, you know, who's reaping the overall benefits of that, and who's reaping the overall repercussions of it? So that's why I like to say, you know, Black Talk Radio or BTR community is a socially conscious social media platform. You ain't got to use your real name. You know, you don't see any advertisements, so there's no corporate agendas here and what have you. So I like to explain it that way.
And you know what? And thank you, Scotty, because that's, to me, that's very, very important and critical to the message, and it's, they're so true. it's so much that goes on those platforms, and they were created for that. So we have to be, you know, really, really cognizant of that. You know, like today's show, and today's show, the title of today's show is "Their Religion is War." The religion is war. And part of that is that I would want to really talk about us preparing for that type of engagement. And there is an engagement that we need to take, in my opinion, to better put ourselves in a better position of advantage. And so I want to definitely jump into that in today's show. So we will do that. So let me get set up here. Have made a little mistake here. Let me just fix some things. I'll do it later. All right. So very important. Join BTR community for only $24 a year. And very, very important. It's the most holistic way, in my opinion. It's the only place that I post. It's the only thing that I do social media-wise is posting inside a BTR community for $24 a year. All right. Also, everyone, if you'd like to acquire real money, what you should be doing, transferring your debt notes into real money. And while you still can do that, because once the overall supply of the precious metals is no longer available for the general population, then you won't be able to exchange your cash for it. So go to www.prosperitymint.com, check out what's in inventory there, and then definitely come on over and acquire some real metals, and then send them an email at info@prosperitymint.com telling me you're a Tando Radio Show listener, okay? And it's to your benefit that you do that. It won't be used for any sales calls. So, all right, so we're going to jump into today's show. And as I said, today is Monday, April the 1st, 2019, first day of April. And today's topic is the religion is war. Is today's topic. So first article we got from Sputnik News, it says, "The Lord is at work, how top U.S. diplomats' religion shape U.S. foreign policy. Military and intelligence using his own version of Christianity to create U.S. foreign policy," Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, celebrity figurehead Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, "has risen fears on Capitol Hill as to the influence of evangelistic beliefs on the administration of a nuclear superpower." His evangelical beliefs on the administration of a nuclear superpower. So check out that overall article. Very, very important. Next article from RT International. "Venezuela is most open U.S. coup. Pundits tell RT as Wall Street Journal talks getting Russia out of Caracas. The United States is fueling the most open coup in history in Venezuela, as an American pundit told RT International in response to a Wall Street Journal op-ed that the beaten drums of interventionism by discussing how to get Russia out of Venezuela and Maduro out of power." Check out that article. Very significant. Next article from RT International. "Maduro announces a 30-day power rationing." "Power rationing as Venezuela is gripped by blackouts." That whole situation there, we're going to take a look at some of this. It's going to continue to unfold there, and it's purposely being done. "Maduro announces a 30-day power rationing as Venezuela is gripped by blackouts. Venezuela's celebrity figurehead President Nicolas Maduro approved a 30-day plan to ration power across Venezuela until its power grid is restored. Caracas blames the U.S.-backed sabotage for crippling power outages that have led to water shortages. Maduro announced the measures yesterday, Sunday, as the Latin American country was struck by yet another wave of blackouts." That's not going to start. It's all a part of softening up for the overall war that's going to take place there. And it's going to be a huge, big one. Next article from Press TV. Any Syrian resolution must guarantee its integrity, the UN chief says. The celebrity figurehead Secretary General of the United Nations has stressed that the importance of guaranteeing Syria's sovereignty and territorial integrity in any resolution on a conflict in the Arab country. Any resolution of the Syrian conflict must guarantee the unity and the territorial integrity of Syria, including the occupied Golden Heights, he said in an address to Arab League summits in Tunisia's capital yesterday, on Sunday. So the UN Secretary General says, no. The U.S., regardless of what the U.S. did, the Golden Heights belongs to Syria. And that is going to be another contention of war that is going to spark and take off. Next article from South China Morning Post. Taiwan will forcefully expel PLA, and that's the People's Liberation Army of China, warplanes the next time. The celebrity figurehead president of Taiwan took hardline response to China to Chinese fighter jets crossing the medium line as a cross-strait tensions threats to draw Washington into it with China. Check out that article. Basically, Taiwan was saying is that the next time that there is a airspace incursion by the Chinese, that they will have a forceful response in expelling the warplanes. Check out that article. Another area of contention that is going to go sideways in the near future. Next article from RT International. India launches top secret spy satellite into orbit along with CubeSat swarm. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. The UN chief slams the U.S. Golden Heights move, says Syria's peace requirements requires territorial integrity. We read this in another publication on Press TV. Same thing there. That is going to be very, very serious. Next article from Sputnik News. Trump orders cut to financial aid to Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. U.S. celebrity figurehead Donald Trump has ordered the State Department to cut all direct funding assistance to so-called Northern Triangle countries, namely El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. An ABC report reported on Saturday, citing a State Department spokesman, because that war in Central America is going to move into South America as well. In my opinion, they're trying to encompass the Panama Canal. Check out that article. Next article from Natural News. Google now interfering in elections outside of the United States to install leftists who worship at the altar of globalists who are controlled by tech giants. Wow, that was a lot. That was from Natural News. Google now interfering in elections outside of the United States to install leftists who worship at the altar of globalists, world controlled by tech giants. Check out that article. Next article from Active Post. The war on drugs, truly a war on people. Very, very true in my opinion. Next article, this one comes from Free Thought Project. Breaking news. New York County declares state of emergency, bans all unvaccinated children from all public spaces. In Rockland, New York, in one of the most shocking moves to date, about the 2019 measles outbreak, Rockland County officials have declared a state of emergency and has effectively banned any child under the age of 18 who has not received the MMR vaccination from all public spaces. That's illegal. This is crazy that this is going on. Next article from Fee, Liberals for forced vaccination. And I would just say forced vaccination is illegal and an imposition on your absolute and primary rights. It has nothing to do with the overall letter of the law that the man gives you. So check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. Three major airlines, U.S. airlines, experienced system-wide computer outages today. Check out that article. Next article from South China Morning Post. Worst recession in recent Chinese history can follow U.S. trade war. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News as well. Russia to continue dollar dump. Buys up 31 tons of gold in a single month. Whew. Moscow sovereign gold stockpile jumped to over 2,100 metric tons last year, with the country's status as a major gold producer allowing for reserves to be built up using domestically stored bullion. Russia's hunger for gold continues to grow. The fresh release of the central bank's data shows the reserve climbing to 31.1 metric tons, or 1.5% of total reserves in the month of February alone. Why is Russia doing that? Because they know that the war is coming, and when the war, after they win the war, that those the spoils of the of war will be dictated by collateral assets, real money, not a piece of paper. Check out that article. You should be doing the same. Next article from RT International. EU's patience with the BRICS friends over Brexit is running short, is running out. Next article from Sputnik News. Beware of Exodus spyware that can hack your phone numbers and more, a security group says. Check out that article. Next article from Russia Insider. Russia Insider. War on terror less focused. U.S. empire now picking fights with everybody. Very, very true. Very, very few. Is this, and it says on the subtitle, is this the age of anxiety or stupidity, the age of hyper wars, or all of the above? As right populist learns to use algorithms, artificial intelligence, and media conveyance, the empire of chaos is in peril, unleashing all out hybrid and systemic war. Check out that article. Next article. One second. Next article from Sputnik News. Nearly a billion people's private data leaked in the biggest breach ever. The breach was spotted accidentally when a security expert logged into an email violation from firm's website, and having passed the verification stage, woke up to the fact that he had gained access to unknown people's personal data. Nearly 1 billion people's private data leaked in the biggest breach ever. Check out that from Sputnik News. Next article from Fee as well. Two ways our world resembles 1984. Check out that article. Next article from Acting Man. Is inflation beginning and are you ready? Check out that article. Next article, this one comes from Yahoo Finance. This one is from Yahoo. And it is, once hated, now loved. BB corporate debt is back in vogue. And that is the tell to major, major problems coming up. And so corporate debt, and corporate debt that is not the preferred corporate debt, meaning is real bad corporate debt, is now back in style. And when that means, crash, y'all, is coming. Next article. This is from Bloomberg. Why negative interest rates may soon become the norm. Check out that article. Next article from CNBC. Credit Suisse chief economist says he's worried about the U.S. inflation shooting up again. Oh, without a doubt. That's definitely going to happen. And you need to be prepared for that. Next article from Acting Man. One day the volcano will erupt, precious metal supply and demand. Yes, so true. Next article from Bloomberg. Very, very significant one. And this is from their politics section. Philippines alarmed by roughly 200 Chinese ships near disputed islands. The South Sea of China is heating up in a very, very defined. I anticipate an all-out war happening there, relatively shooting engagement that turns into war relatively soon. Next article from, Tom Dispatch. And is about on leaving the U.S. military, why one general said he was leaving the U.S. military, which was basically pretty darn gone true. He says, I can't do this anymore. I can't carry the water, be the water boy for a nation that's just engaging in all-out war. And he basically said said he just couldn't do it anymore. So, So that was there. Let me see real quickly. That was what was in the news. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And would love to hear from you all. So, all right. So I'm going to get into today's show. The religion is war is what today's show is all about. And would love to hear from you. If you'd like to get in, give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. And we wanted to start with that, the religion is war, because that's really what's, you know, happening. And, you know, when you look at the United States, it has slogans that I hope that we would really start to pay attention to, like "In God We Trust" on their currency, their debt note. Well, that, because of knowing what debt is and what that piece of paper does, I know that they're not talking about the great creator. They're talking about themselves and the system in which benefits them. That's their God. And most of us have been taught to think that it was actually the great creator, because they want you to think that so that you would look at whatever they do as being holier than thou and being sentient by and carrying in the will of the great creator, which is the opposite, because the great creator doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't manipulate and enslave people. Man does. Man does. And doesn't have acts of aggression and violence in order to steal, rob, and pillage individuals, groups, communities, and large regions of the planet. Man does. So there is an article, it's a couple of them, that I wanted to touch. But before we do that, I just want to say we need to talk about something real quick, and that is having the right mental preparation for what's, in my opinion, what's unfolding right here in front of us. And that mental preparation is critical, is absolutely critical. How we respond to things, how we think about things, and the actions that we hope to bring to full fruition. What is our agenda? And there's a mental preparedness that I think that's very, very necessary for us to engage in. And I want to talk about that first before we go into the overall religion of war. And it all kind of goes together. And, excuse me, the religion is war. So as we start to move into some very trying times, being properly prepared for that trying time, I think is very, very, very significant for us to, and I think it really should take our energy, we should use our energy to do just that. And the reason why I say that is because once things start to move in the different directions, the better prepared you are, the more you can actually seize on opportunities and protect yourself and give a hedge of protection for yourself, your family, and the overall community. And I want to talk about that type of preparedness before going forward. And, you know, you can get prepared by acquiring things, acquiring assets and everything else, but there's a mental preparedness that is very much overlooked. And the degrees of the mental preparedness is really overlooked. The commitment to the mental preparedness is really overlooked, and I really want to talk about that and touch that with you all, and I would love to hear your thoughts on it. And I say that because of this. Now, that was somehow some, excuse me, and I say that because of the degree of the mental preparedness that we often ignore is very, very detrimental to our overall well-being, our balance, and our overall health. And that degree of mental preparedness is in the following. But before I say that, you know, in mental preparedness, you know, I was, Pastor Keith gave a great sermon at church yesterday. Really, really good sermon. I wish you all could have been there and heard it. It was really good. And Pastor Keith talked about one thing that he said was when he played basketball that his coach told him and his team to get mentally prepared. And Keith, in his jovial way, says, prepared? I'm always prepared, right? But the significance of getting mentally prepared is very, very important. But very few people talk about that overall process. And if they do talk about that process, they don't talk about the significance of the degree of it. And getting mentally prepared, in my opinion, means outside of what your physical demands may require, that your overall mental stability has to be able to fundamentally gird or uphold the physical body to be able to do at a measure of fatigue or at its measure of its breaking point where it wants to quit. And there's very different degrees in that. There's mental toughness. There's mental fortitude. And I think that mental fortitude and mental toughness are two different things. Being mentally tough, we've all been heard and actually have gotten an opinion about being mentally tough. But our mental fortitude is always, always ignored or not explained or not even thought of in many instances. Mental toughness means that you won't quit. Mental toughness means that you will continue to work until you achieve what it is that you need to achieve. But mental fortitude is the one that's always, always, in my opinion, ignored. And I want to spend some time with mental fortitude, because it's a degree of being mentally prepared that is essential. Mental fortitude, in my opinion, starts with this. Have you disciplined yourself to be the best person that you can be in every engagement that you encounter? Are you set your mental fortitude in a direction that your response to things, to events, especially things that are unforeseen to you, or things that happen to you outside of your control, have you established the mental fortitude that you can have a benevolent, healthy response to it? Or if you see something that's wrong, can you have a mental state to be benevolent? But the society teaches us never let anybody get over on you. And I'm not saying you have never let anyone get over on you. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that you shouldn't walk around ready to chop every single person's head off just because they look at you wrong. Are you engaging in a manner and method that is healthy and conducive for you to bear good fruit? Or are you stymied, dwarfed in your overall growth because of your mental fortitude? And I would basically say this: are you kind? Are you meek? And being kind and meek is not weak. It is actually one of the most difficult things to do. But see, the balance of that is that when you are that way, you are first feeding yourself and feeding yourself so that when things do happen to you, you'll be able to endure them in a better, more holistic, balanced way. But if you sit at the seat of being scornful at all times and everything, you will see that that scornfulness will actually scorch you and everything around you. And this is a mental fortitude that is ignored. And it's necessary for that, in my opinion, for you to be able to endure what's going to be happening in the future. Are you an individual that greets others with harshness? Some people are cut in a different cloth. That's cool. I understand that. That is cool. But that's an excuse. Because when others approach you that way, you don't appreciate it. Have you guarded yourself against what you don't appreciate so that you don't actually perpetuate that? Do you present that? Or is it the world has so captured us that we always have an I problem and a me problem? If it ain't benefit me, if it ain't for if I'm not getting something, I don't care. Well, what happens with that is that there's a deep-seating, scornful spirit that starts to develop, and you will find that you will always be in lack of joy. There will never be anything of inheritance that you will be able to establish that represents what was granted to you out of love, because you destroyed all measures of love in your life. And that's going to be a detriment to you as things start to turn sour in this world. Case in point, think about driving. When you drive, are you courteous to others? But when someone is not courteous to you, it burns you. Because you're upset at that individual because they weren't courteous to you. But you haven't been courteous to anyone else. But even if you have been, if someone is not courteous to you, you're able to let that just be water on a duck's back. It rolls off. Because it's really not that important. Maybe what needs to happen is that you need to show that other individual a better way to respond to something that's small that can get out of hand. Because we've actually been taught in our driving to be uncourteous. So that in order for us to start to be courteous in our driving, we need to teach each other and have that, and we need to practice that daily. That changes the overall scope and direction of humanity. These are the things that start small that are really so influentially or have so much influence and impact that it changes the overall global dynamics. But we've been feeding into a scornfulness so much that we've been globally impacted. So there's a mental toughness. Then there's a mental fortitude. And that mental fortitude should be an emulation of that what was given to you that you didn't deserve, your very breath. You didn't do anything to acquire that. It was granted to you. The measures and scopes and dynamics of our lives were actually given to us out of love. But because of an appeal, an indoctrination, we have walked away from that overall solemn oath of prosperity, thinking that the riches of the world is held in scornful behavior. And that's foolishly wrong. Think about it. If we develop a mental fortitude, it will be much easier for us to deal with momentary glitches, momentary problems, because all of them are. But see, what happens is that the way that we've been trained is that we take a moment and we interject it into our eternity. It changes who we are instead of us changing the problem. A bad situation should never change a good person. Good people should always change bad situations, but that's not our overall mental fortitude on the larger communal scale. And this which makes it very easy for us to be maliciously directed and scoped and shaped into destruction. We always think about me, and we don't turn that M around to we. And you think about, there was never a me that got you here. But now that you're here, the influence of me can destroy everything that was granted to you. Because you'll neither appreciate, nor will anything be enough, because you'll develop an insatiable appetite for destruction. And believe me, that seed of destruction will go forward into your eternity, in my opinion. I don't know. I didn't create it. And one of the things I think that before we can have meaningful change globally, we have to have that first individually. And that mental preparedness it starts with how are we representing what was given to us and granted to us out of love? Do we still resonate in that overall frequency, or have we been so debased into such a low resonance that we disregard the most basic truth that stands? You didn't ask to get here, come here. But now that we're here, how are we going to use, how are we going to apply? What standards and what methods are we going to execute to get to the overall objective? And those objectives should be, in my overall opinion, ones that emulate what was given to us, everything. And we've created a living hell on earth, because that's how we resonate. And then that's what you're going to create, and that's what's going to live. So part of the mental preparedness is a mental fortitude that should be garnered in meekness, should be garnered into being appreciative, being garnered into one that actually exudes love, because that's not weak. It is actually, in my overall, it is a measure of wealth that is priceless. And it has a direct effect on you. It has a direct effect on how you, your relationships with everything around you. Are you an individual that's destructive in everything that you do, everywhere that you go? Then if that's the case, it doesn't matter. It's no one else's fault. It's what you've actually resigned yourself and how you resigned yourself to be. It doesn't matter if somebody hits you. What is your response to that overall attack? Are you going to address that overall issue? Or are you just going to flail and just hit everything around you because you're angry. Evil is always angry. While peace is always meek. When you're meek, you only do what's necessary and apply that overall, that force that's needed to neutralize the threat. That's it. And I think that there's a real mental preparedness that we have to set ourselves up for, and that degree being the overall mental fortitude. Are we right? Are we sincere? Are we benevolent? Because then what will happen is that there will be a destructive nature, no matter the land that you're in, no matter the company that you're in, the community that you're in, the family that you're in, you'll screw it up every time. And it doesn't matter what your overall, what you've been through. Because you can't say that you've been through something and then the scars of it has still controlled you. You haven't been through it yet. You're still there. And this is what this system really tries to build. It tries to build an anger and discord that can actually disguise evil intentions. And we can give any and every excuse as to why we weren't courteous to that individual. And many will say, I just don't feel that way today. I don't feel like being that way. And what it is that we're seeding an evil that we have become what we had to endure. And it's wasted. And that overall wastedness, you can't push that forcefully on someone else. They have to choose to engage in that. And the only one that you destroy is you and your heirs. And it's a painful one. It is a painful one. So I just wanted to, my man Pastor Keith is in the building, and I just wanted to really emphasize that there's a mental fortitude that we definitely need to engage in. And it starts with you being a grantor, because what was granted to you was based in love. Do we actually emulate that? Do we engage in that? Let me tell you something about an individual that is always not happy, Keith. There's a difference between being happy. That's a form of emotion. Joy takes work. Joy is a measure of appreciation that is always seeding to prosperity. Because you can't steal my joy. My happiness goes up and down. Right? Happiness is momentary. Joy is something that you can have, every single person can have, is guaranteed. Joy is guaranteed.
What do you mean guaranteed?
What I mean by joy is guaranteed is because joy is guaranteed because it's a state of your spirit.
That's why I asked. So I wouldn't say it's guaranteed. I would say it's granted.
Yes. Yeah, it's granted, but it's guaranteed to sustain and be able to endure for eternity.
Absolutely.
So that's what I mean by it's guaranteed. And if you If you're an individual that operates in joy, no matter what your momentary circumstances are, you're guaranteed to go have prosperity. Because your happiness is based on man's letter of the law, is what you feel. Is what you feel. And how many times, Keith, have your emotions gone from one thing to now down to the bottom?
Yeah, and those are powerful, what you're talking about. And I think the reason being is because, like you said, like we said, joy is granted. Joy can only come from one place, and that comes from above. But as you get to the point to be in a position to receive that joy, you learn several things. And one of the, some of the things that you learn is what Paul was talking about when he talks about contentment.
Yep.
Right? Because if you're not content, and we talked about some of these things yesterday, if you put you in this position where you're ungrateful, you don't even appreciate what you have already.
And you can't appreciate who you are.
And you're not going to appreciate what you're going to get either.
No. And no one else around you.
Absolutely. And those are like what you goes back to what you were saying with mental transformation, mental preparation, all those things, because those are required for you to be prosperous. And now, like what you also said, what does it mean to be prosperous?
And you know what? And you can actually see the joy that emits from a person's spirit.
Absolutely.
And you can actually feel the scornfulness of a low frequency person that is always angry.
Absolutely.
That overall energy goes forward of them.
Sure.
It's forward, on the sides, and behind. You can feel the evil and the anger of people. You can also see the joy. Now, many people try to actually take advantage of individuals with joy. Now, I'm going to just say this. You can't steal someone's granted inheritance unless they become like you, that individual. So if you are a thief, there isn't anything that you can capture. Just like with our overall sovereignty, just with our self-determination, no man in the system or no system was able to capture it. What they did was they created an environment that we would be willing to surrender it. And once you surrender it, that's when it's lost. That's when it's lost.
You know, it's kind of funny that when you start talking about that, it put me in a mindset of we'll get to horror movies, get to vampires. And the reason being is because when you read some of the things that are involved with that mythology and stuff like that, they're not allowed to enter into your threshold. They can't come into your house unless you invite them in. And I thought that was just real interesting that, you know,
because it's a part of the program, you know, and they have to indoctrinate everyone and domesticate them to be willing participants. Anger is something that you hold on to willingly. And joy is something that you actually cherish willingly. So you think about it, and I'm saying this mental preparedness because we are going to be dealing with some events that are no choice of ours. Things happen to you from time to time that you didn't dictate, right? But the most important thing is how you respond to them, because your response is going to set up the next set of events that's going to happen to you. And so I would say it's very important. I would say everyone that's listening, resonate in joy. Resonate in prosperity. One of the things about being prosperous, Keith, is that you give away. You give away so much more. And every time you give away, your overall, I like to put it this way, your coffers get bigger and there's more that is granted to you by the great creator. Because that's what? Sustainable. That's what how we become sustainable. Sustainable means that you're replenished. But if we're so busy stealing, if we're so busy taking, then what happens to our coffers is they start to shrink and they get hardened and they're shrinking. And then now the overall granted fortune can't even impact your walls of destruction that you've already built.
You know, this is right in line with some of the things that
we have 5 minutes.
About.
Keith, I'm just playing
with you. We talked about some of the things that we talked about in church yesterday. And we put it, and of course, you know, I'm Christian, you're a Christian, we go by Christian doctrine, but the philosophy is the same. And that was basically, if you place him first, if you act in a benevolent manner, if you do these things without regard to yourself, and it goes outside of Christianity and everything else, because they talk about your aurora. Mm-hmm. They're talking about you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
Those things come back to you multifold.
And you know, Keith, because we think that when something is granted to you, it's not your possession. Because it was not you that created it. So what we do and what the system has done is that it has given us a thought process to think that everything that we have, we own. This is mine.
You know, one of the huge things, and you see it all on TV and everything now, it's become a epidemic, if you will. But it's got its own show. It's called Hoarders.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
People that can't let go of nothing that they ever get themselves in possession of. It was never meant to be that way.
You can't possess the air. It wasn't, you didn't create it. It was granted to you for sustainable life. And then now that we've letterized possession of things that we have no control over and is not ours, so what does that bring about? An imbalance to think that you can. So when you have that imbalance, what happens? You become mentally ill. And when you have mental illness, because it's like catching a cold, and we done caught the mental illness disease, there's an imbalance to reality and what your perception is, and is probably a fantasy, because you think about our whole lives, from fantasy football to entertainment to life in itself, is all a big fantasy, and we're trying to live in a fantasy world. But the reality of the spirit of the law exists, and the spirit of the law never yields to fantasy. It runs it over. It absolutely runs it over. So I'm saying this because as we get ready to go into our commercial break, are we granters? Are we granters of peace? Because we can do that. Are we granters of love? Are we granters of consideration? Are we granters of prosperity? Some of those things we can do. And if you start to do that, you'll find something. You'll find a joy that grows in you that can never, ever be captured and will never go without. Everyone always takes possession of things because they're afraid that they're not going to be able to have it and more of it as they can. You know what, Keith? It was one of the things in your sermon that you said yesterday before we get ready to go. You talked about the person eating. And immediately the thing that came to my mind, I bust out laughing, is that as this person is engorging themselves, because that's really what happens with anger. It makes you very gluttonous. As you engorge it, the individual gorges themselves with eating, and they're trying to eat as much. And as they're eating, they're saying they're hungry. your bottomless pit. Because we've lost focus of the truth, and we're giving all of our energy to fantasy. This society is fantasy. The economy is fantasy. The law, the governance, the laws that of the land are fantasy. The overall sovereignty of borders is fantasy. But we think it's the truth. So we become so mentally ill that we can never be prosperous because we have a possessive spirit. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we want to move into, but I would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. I had to remember the number. Sorry about that. We'd love to hear from you. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And in the last hour, we were talking about the mental preparedness in order for us to be able to endure the unscheduled or events that are going to be happening to us. And we can't allow that overall anger to control us. And if we have the overall mental fortitude, in my opinion, which is more important than mental toughness, then we will be equally balanced to be able to prosper through it all. And being prosperous starts with you have to give away a fortune. When was the last time we gave away a fortune? When was the last time? This is an individual thing. I know some individuals that have given away a fortune, they don't even, you can see it. Scotty, you pass the key. When have we given away a fortune? But in giving away that fortune, that's what is in our best interest to do, and that's how we align ourselves up with the spirit of the law that's granted, so that you'll find that there will be an abundance that's always given to you. But one of the things about the abundance, and sometimes where we go wrong, is that we get the abundance and we say, like, we become, have a sense of entitlement. I was supposed to get this. Now, where am I going to get the overflow from? Oh. So you thought you were going to connive your way to things. And so having a sense of entitlement is nothing more than a politically correct way to say that you're greedy. You're greedy and your intentions were always misguided. You know how when you grew up, your grandparents? Grandparents are so critical to a young person's development because the grandparents have been there before. They've seen all of that.
Why grandparents and not parents?
Well, grandparents, I love grandparents is because they raised you and your parents. And they've seen a whole lot more. So when you have a agenda, oh, grandma sees that right away. And grandpa feels it right off the bat.
Why I ask you, and I think that is so profound what you said, and the reason being is because if you listen to a lot of conversations, we have a whole lot of criticism for the millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably, because they are messed up in a whole lot of ways. You know, now they got some good things going on too, But they're messed up in a whole lot of ways. But the reason why I bring that up is because your generation, you know, which is a little bit older than I am, but neither there or here, but, you know, your generation is the generation that has produced millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I bring that up is because what's common to this generation, your generation, our generation, is I'm not going to raise my kids the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
We raised our kids, our generation, differently than what our grandparents did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cost us tremendously.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and for your generation, Keith, I would classify that as the fossilized generation. But very true. And, you know, the millennials, one thing that I will say about them is this. I mean, a lot of people are down on them because we always think that the generation that we raised is lesser than our generation. It's a falsehood. One of the things that I'm always very cautious about the millennial generation is that I understand from the chemical inducement that they had to endure, the actual chemical changes. And it started in your fossilized generation that went into mine as well. But the overall, from the bombardment that generation has to deal with shows the resilient strength of man.
And you need to elaborate on that, because if you don't, I will. Because I think that's something that's not thought about very much, but it's huge. So what do you mean the chemical inducement?
The chemical inducement from radiation. From phones, from computers, the bombardment from the technology. You have a whole network of frequencies that have expanded itself beyond your fossilized generation, Keith, where all you had was just the
rotary phone.
No, not even the rotary phones. You had the coded phone, beep, 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 beep. The Morse code, the one lines and everything else. Do you think that wild world of technology is not actually being a chemical and frequency dump on the generation? Absolutely. Think about children today. Children today get hit with radiation and ultrasounds in the womb when they weren't hit with these things before. That is a bombardment and a chemical attack on them that your fossilized generation didn't have to deal with, Keith.
And
we got a couple of callers. I want to go to them real quick. Very, very important. Sorry, Keith. But go ahead, Keith. Make your point. Then I want to go to
Sister
Davis and Brother Davis.
Huge. Absolutely huge. Absolutely huge. And we don't even know how huge it is yet.
Toothpaste, Keith. Think about toothpaste. Toothpaste really, really started to take off at a certain point. Fluoride toothpaste.
I was
going
to say, water
and all of these things. And
food.
Many of these things. And then the advent of technology being a force multiplier has an effect.
Huge.
It's an attack. Let's go to some of our callers real quick. We had 803, and I believe that's Sister Davis. Then we'll go to Brother Davis. Sister Davis, is that you? Welcome to Tando Radio Show.
Yes, it's me. And Richard, he's at work. Brother Davis is at work, so he's calling in. Maybe, did I hear it right that they said grandparents aren't parents, or what was the grandparents and parent thing that was said?
Oh, no.
Before I...
There was, I said that grandparents are so impactful because they not only raise, you know, your parents, they raise the grandbabies and the parents of the baby. So no, that was what it was with grandparents. So
I just wanted to piggyback on that, and then because our family, and I know it was said about the millennials, but yeah, the millennials. You have to look at millennials have been brought up on fast food. And if you feed garbage to anything, I'm not saying it's all garbage, but a percentage of it is all processed, let's say that. And you're going to have a reaction. And we're seeing that reaction in the millennials' children. that are being born, a lot of birth defects, a lot of ADHD, issues like that, have a lot to be said with what went in is now what comes out. And unfortunately, the millennials' children, who happens to be like my Rich and I's granddaughters, those grands that we have now, a lot of them aren't going to outlive their parents because they're just falling over. They're just, you know, with the food, the schooling, you know, they're getting killed at school with the drugs, the alcohol, the cigarettes, the vaping. You know, there's a lot to be said, but there's also a lot to be said, like you said, about the frequencies of the grandparents and the parents and the younger generation has increased 1,000-fold with all of the Wi-Fi's. They're saying now that the generation, like our grandchildren, as they walk into schools and they walk into homes, the young boys and the young ladies are being impacted from the waist down based on frequency that's coming out of the Wi-Fi. And young ladies now, young men will continually create new sperm, but young women are born with all the eggs they will ever have in their ovaries. And if they get fried or infected or radiated or zapped in some manner, that's the next generation of children that's going to be born. And that's proven. That's not an Erica Davis fact. That's a fact. And it's a lot to be said. The millennials, our daughter, we have a son and a daughter that just, well, she'll be 40 this year, and they're both 40, 41. And it's a big difference because we raised them, then we raised another set that we adopted that were born in the 90s. And we saw as parents a big, huge change because, you know, we felt that we were, by the time we adopted the second set, the children that we adopted, we felt like we were experienced parents because our older children were in their teens, like almost into their late teens. When we got those 90 babies, I said, what in the world? Because they were very difficult. They wouldn't sit down. They wouldn't listen. I mean, they weren't bad children by any. There was a definite difference in their chemistry. And I know my husband will piggyback on that. There's a big difference based on the pharmaceuticals, the food supply, the medical, the government, everything. Because they want each generation to be less than the generation before them. It's I don't want to say it's a conspiracy, but it is something that they're doing on purpose. And that's what I wanted to say.
Well, it's a conspiracy agenda. Yes. So true, Sister Davis. Yeah, it's I'll say it is definitely a conspiracy agenda. And you know, as Sister Davis said, you know, when you in today's world, you can see the marked attack. The assassins have moved the scope to women. And that's because of what Sister Davis said, because when you destroy the overall process of birth with women, you impact multiple generations going forward, because all of the seed of life, you're actually destroying the crop before it even gets planted. And so in that overall, you know, that harvest could be so bountiful. So what do? Every single seed bearer becomes the target. And that is very, very powerful. Well said, Sister Davis. We got Brother Davis, and like you said, I think he's going to definitely chime in with cooperation of what the great things that you just said. Brother Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
Well, it's always good to hear the voice of a friend, and it's even better to hear the voice of your wife.
Yes, it is. Yes, I knew that was coming.
But let me add this. This is not by chance. This is by design. When you look at the political structure in the country and what they have done and the laws they have passed, they purposely place women in a place where a man should be, and now they're feminizing the men. We fail to realize that these are all done by design. You look at the food today. It's literally designed to kill you. Maybe not directly or in minutes, but over a period of long-term consumption. You heard my wife speak in reference to the children of the 90s. Well, you see, it was hard for us to really identify what the children were going through because we were the caretakers. And as caretakers, we were the examples for our children to follow. But yet these children were being born so young with so many dependencies, psychological dependencies, chemical dependencies, because the system is set up to destroy a people. Now, everybody sits back and says, oh, not our government. Well, look at what's happening all over the world, not just here, all over the world. This is not a one-person plan. This is actually a design that we fall into unless we take our lives back. I've been saying it and saying it and saying it. Only you can make changes in your life. And the sad part about that is a lot of people don't really want change because they like it. I mean, give you a perfect example. I hear a lot of people talk about being religious, but yet they don't include their religion in every aspect of their life. So how can you be religious but yet limit the teachings that you're supposed to be following in different areas that you may not want to expose? So therefore, you're letting your children know you can actually cover up what you don't want revealed, but it's only a cover. And that cover now, to a lot of people, is a way of life. So we have to prepare for those who are going to prepare. We can't hold hands for those who keep saying, show me the way, because they've had their time to learn it. They have to be able to take control of their lives and say, this is what we're going to do, and live it according to the standard that they set and not the standard placed upon them. I just wanted to add that real quick. Thank you, brother.
Well said, brother and sister David. So true, and it's, you know, and it's a constant bombardment. The women have been chosen by the assassin for a reason, because of the impactfulness of that, and it's a force multiplier to get your agenda set forth, especially a criminal one. And speaking of a criminal agenda, today's show, and I wanted to really bring this in because it goes along with the mental toughness, the mental fortitude and the mental preparation that's going to be needed. And that all extends on to who are you as an individual? How do you engage with everything else around? Not with just people. What is your engagement with the complete living environment, the structure of the ecosystem of life all around us? What is your overall engagement in relationship to it? It's very, very important, because that's where your prosperity comes from. So today's show is Religion is War. The religion is war. And that is the religion that's being practiced on the governing side. And it's being practiced in the relation side, because you think about it. Our neighborhoods are in a war. There's many people that are in a war with their friends and their family members. They just don't declare it a war, but there are many people that have ill will towards each other. That's a state of war. At any chance, you're hoping for an opportunity for ill to happen to someone. You're at war. And one of the things about declaring war is that it encompasses you as well. But there's an article for Sputnik News. It says, the Lord is at work, how top U.S. diplomats' religions shape U.S. foreign policy.
Dave.
Here's the article. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Look, and my mom talks about this from time to time. Religion is just going through the motion, and I go to church on Sunday because historically people go to church on Sunday, and that's religion. Okay, a religion is just going through the motions and giving a appearance that you're something when truly you're not. You know, if you're talking about the Christian faith, Jesus said you'll know people by their works, not by how they label themselves, not by what they say, but what they do. So when you hear people say, you know, I'm a Christian, well, that's supposed to mean I follow the teachings of Christ. What are the two greatest teachings according to my interpretation of the scripture that Jesus put out there? And that was love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as you would love yourself. And by fulfilling those two commandments, then you fulfill all the law. You know, it's that simple. It's that simple. So that means then, Dave, if I'm following that commandment on loving my neighbor, and then when we say love, don't go to the extremes. That doesn't mean anything other than not mistreating someone. Okay. So right. If I love my neighbor next door, I'm not going to steal his tools. I'm not going to steal his lawnmower or any of his gardening tools or any of his gas. I'm not going to go over to his garden and raid his garden and what have you, because, you know, then I'm saying by that action, then am I going to get mad when somebody do it to me? That's what it means to treat people like how you want to be treated, to love your neighbor as you would love yourself. It's that simple. I heard years and years ago, I heard this white dude talk about how he was a Christian, and he's on this political show on Blog Talk Radio, right wing conservative. And I never heard him say that before. And so then he says, you know, he admits that, you know, I go to church, but I don't read the Bible. I just go to church on Sundays. And then he was justifying white privilege by saying, I want my son to grow up with the same privileges that I had. Even if those privileges, and he didn't say this, but this is what he was saying, even if those privileges come at the cost of other people being oppressed, you know, unearned privilege, and what he wanted that same thing to be passed down to his son. So he wanted his son to benefit from white supremacy is basically what he's saying. So it don't matter to me if he say he go to church every Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Or if he tells somebody that he a Christian, by their works, you will know them. Thanks, Dave.
Man, Scotty summed up the whole thing in the mental fortitude as well. It's so true. It's religion is nothing more than a ritual practice. A ritual practice that you use as an excuse, to hide who you truly are and what your intentions really are. So very, very well said, you know, Brother Davis, Sister Davis, and Scotty, because we're firmly agree. And I know that if Pastor Keith was conscious right now, because he's sleeping, he's in la la land right now, he would have agreed with that as well. And so
actually, I'll take the step farther.
Wait, you can't scare me like that. I thought you was, but go ahead, Keith.
When you look up the word Hebrew, I mean, I'm sorry, not Hebrew,
maybe if you go back to sleep, it'll come back to you. See, that's why you should stay awake.
What's it called when what we call when somebody talks about somebody and it's really what they are?
Hypocrites.
I'm sorry. So when you look up the word hypocrite, it's actually rooted in the word religion.
Yeah.
It's covering. It's you doing stuff and using your religion
right
to cover it up.
Right, which your true intentions are.
Yeah.
Which your true intentions are. Yeah, so true. So Keith, if you'll stay awake a little bit longer, I want you to hear this. Very, very important. And I just want to say thank you, Sister Davis, Brother Davis, and Scotty. And Pastor, thank you. I greatly appreciate you all, because it really helps than when we bring our experience into things, when we talk about things that we've noticed. And I think that really helps everyone else. Okay, I just wanted to say that. I truly do appreciate you all. So there's this article from Sputnik News, and here it is. The Lord is at work, how top U.S. diplomats' religion shapes U.S. foreign policy. In his own, in using his own version of Christianity to create U.S. foreign policy, Secretary of State celebrity figurehead Mike Pompeo has raised fears on Capitol Hill as to the influence of evangelical beliefs on the administration of a nuclear superpower. Quote, I am confident that the Lord is at work here, stated Pompeo. Regarding the history of Judaism, during an interview with the Christian Broadcast Network early in March, even as the influence of evangelicals in the American government has been seen to be on the rise, according to a report in the New York Times. Let me stop there really quickly. This is why it's so important that you have your own personal relationship. Not a relationship with anyone else or as a relationship in a group in today's world. Let me tell you why. Because on the back of your U.S. dollar bill, it says, in God we trust. And I always, and me and Scotty talked about this before. I say this, who is we and who is God? Because that's not the great creator, in my opinion, that they're talking about. The we is them, and the God is their overall supreme appearance of sovereignty and authority over everyone else. Meaning, they're the God. And if you look at how that is actually facilitated, you'll see that that religious practice is not a hypocrite to who they truly are. But it is a religious practice and is a hypocrite to what they are trying to give it the appearance of.
Explain that.
If you look at the hypocritical part, is that they would say that they are followers of Christ.
Right.
But what does Scotty say? And what have you, what do you always say, Keith? That how will someone will know if someone is really a follower of Christ is by what? The love, right?
Right.
What love do they show? They show the love for what?
Themselves.
The love of, they have love. They love power.
And they have God.
They love power.
Sure.
And they love wielding that power. But they don't know the power of love.
I don't think that they care of the power.
No. Their agenda is actually to be a very malevolent one. And so if you really look at who are they emulating, they're emulating the adversary.
So with that being said, that immediately takes me to the story of the Pharisees. Who were the what? The religious leaders of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Who did what? They capitalized in hypocrisy because they were the religious hypocrisy. They were the religious leaders of the day, and they let everybody know it. They acted in such a pious way. But they had no intentions to deal with their religion in the way that they demanded everybody else.
Because it was the religion that upheld their evil intentions.
Absolutely.
And it's the exact same thing here. And this is what is actually, because this is why they will say these things to get an emotional surrenderance out of the people so that they will never question their
intentions.
Yeah, that's got it.
Yeah, also, you know, example of people saying there's something, saying that they're Christians, but not following Christ. Now, I've had debates with family members about this. Now, the Bible say, when you pray, pray in secret, pray in your closet where your Father in heaven will see, but other people not going to see. You know what I'm saying? And he talks about, don't be going out there standing on the corner talking about you've been on a long fast and just looking like, you know, so pitiful and pious, you know what I'm saying, giving the appearance of pious. And then I think about, you know, when you have certain conservative groups, Christian conservative groups, and they argue for prayer in school, public prayer and all. Well, that goes against what the word say. The word say don't be, you know, publicly praying and to be seen by other men, because you have your reward. When they be fighting over who's praying at the city council meeting or what prayers is being said, well, you know, it's mostly the Christians that's making, well, what do the Bible say? The Bible, you know, Christ didn't tell you that in the Bible. He said, pray in your closet, in secret, where your Father hear you, see you, and you know, not to do these things, to be trying to make you seem like you some holy person close to God and all of that, all this public prayer and long, you know, winded, you know, prayers and whatnot at public events, you know, that, so it clearly says that in the Bible, but the propaganda tells the people that, you know, all our problems is because they took prayer out of school and all this and that. I'm like, geez.
Yeah, Scott, so true. We got to go to break. Listen, we're getting ready. When we come back, we'll jump back in. Scotty, just give me one minute. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
I'ma give you what I got, and baby, that's plenty. I never had one man rock so many. I'ma make you wet and make you sweat, just to see how funky you can get. Now when I'm on the mic, I do so well, and I go by the name of the rapper Ja Rule. Now sit back, relax, put on your headgear. You ready for a trip through the atmosphere? Gonna take you for a ride through the twilight zone. I don't need a spaceship, I use my microphone. So hold on tight with all your might, cause I'll be rocking like this for the rest of the night. It's Ja Rule, yo, your master rapper. And when I'm on the mic, it's a sheer disaster. Of course, MCs crumble when we rumble. Some think I'm soft just because I'm humble. So all you MCs, I hope you're real good listeners, cause in this battle, I'm taking no prisoners. I'm slaying MCs right on the spot, cause I'm the master of the rap, the doctor of the rap, the jack of all trades, the master of one. And the thing I master is called having fun. We got 3 minutes left to rock this funk, to separate the good stuff from the junk. So get in the groove and feel the sound, and once you're inside, spread yourself around, from the bottom to the top, top to the bottom.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, Keith or Dave, y'all there? Reckon not. Keith, you not on the board, man.
You got Wes from Oakland.
You said Wes?
Yeah, from Oakland. That called in Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, Dave's there. Dave, you got a call on the board. We can't. Okay, somehow you got muted, Dave. You might have muted yourself. So there you go.
Okay, can you hear me, Scotty?
Yeah, we got you now.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on it, on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We got a caller in queue out of Oakland, my man, out of Oakland, and we're going to go back to Pastor Keith Welcome, brother out of Oakland. What's going on? What say you?
Hey, what's happening? Yeah, my name is Wes. I had talked to you guys Friday. I think I got off the phone maybe a little premature because I just was really just trying to listen. Really just wanted to give y'all props because, you know, there's a lot more things that can be said. Y'all report is stuff that I listen to a lot of right-wing radio. I basically am a news junkie. I listen to right-wing radio, Rush Limbaugh, all of them all day. And you are a great relief from all that propaganda and whatever they're trying to sell you. But I have to kind of listen to it because it is entertainment. But I'm impressed with the way you guys conduct yourselves, how you know when to come in, you don't interrupt each other. And when you do come in, it's right at the right time, you need the right point. And like, and especially is when you you know how to take a personal story and make it and apply it to what's going on. Like, if you're trying to say something, I'd be like, well, what is he kind of saying? But you come back real quick with an example and say, and you give a story. So it's more of a real sense. And like I said, and the headline, and I was able to get in, I think, to the BTR community. The problem was my PayPal account. I had an old PayPal connected to it. So every time I tried to get in it, they just kicked me out of it. So I got it worked out, so I was able to get into that. So I just wanted to reassure y'all on that and let you know that I did get that taken care of. And just, and let's really just give you props. You know, Sister Dave, I mean, the Davises and everything is good. So just keep up the good work. And I'll stay on the phone this time a little bit just in case you wanted to elaborate and say something else. But it is a little intimidating sometimes because you guys are so smart and so intelligent and so well versed. You know, it's probably a little easier for me to write stuff down and kind of, but it's great listening. That's the main point I want to make. It's probably a lot more people listening than what you know, and a lot more people appreciating you than what you know. So
well, remember though, if you're not able to write something down, the podcast, you can always, like Sister Dave was talking about the other day, podcasts are great because you can listen to them in your own time and re-listen.
Okay. So the podcast, I'm not really familiar with. I listen to you on like Simple Radio. It's an app that's on. It's got all kind of news stations and all that. And so I get you on that. So, and it repeats several times during the day. So I can catch the show even if I don't hear it live. I usually catch it like I got rush off. I work at night.
So what you're catching our podcast. Yeah. If I'm familiar with the platform that you're talking about, it's like a news aggregator. And it collects podcasts as well. So, yo, those would be podcasts. But like I tell other folks, our podcast home is our network home, blacktalkradionetwork.com. So if you don't see it posted, we're like on iTunes, TuneIn. You know, most of the major podcast hosts, directories and what have you, we try to, you know, distribute through different avenues. But always, if you're looking, you know, to see if there's a podcast or what have you, if you find out, you know, maybe it wasn't a show and it wasn't a podcast, always go to our network home, blacktalkradionetwork.com. They work on all types of devices, smartphones, tablets, PCs as well.
Okay, I logged out. Like I said, I was able to. I paid and I joined the community, so, and I know that I'm aware. So you're saying I can go there?
The social community platform, they're two separate platforms. They're sister platforms. But in the social media community, BTR community, there is a direct link to our news site, you know, blacktalkradionetwork.com, where you'll find other stations, podcasts, articles, blogs, and videos. So it'll say on the menu in BTR community, Black Talk Radio. That'll take you straight to blacktalkradionetwork.com, brother. And we appreciate you supporting us and glad you were able to get logged in.
Okay, well, thank you. I'll check out the, I downloaded it and, you know, that thing I mentioned, I haven't really explored it yet, so that'll give me more because I was going to kind of see what's the advantage of actually being part of the community. Other than when you're saying like you want to sometimes, like I said, I might probably write a little better than I speak. So sometimes it'll be if I wanted to just post something, you know, write something and post it on there, what would be the best place to go? Like if I wanted to represent my view on
You do that. Well, everything you do on Facebook, except for the live video streaming, you know, BTR community works the same way. Make posts, import videos, post your YouTube videos with your commentary. Post a status message, make friends with different people on the network, or, you know, controlling who can see the post. But the most important thing is you don't have to use your real name, you know, so that, you know, gives people freedom to really speak their mind.
Okay, well, I follow this as Q93, you know, I'm a major, so I always got to represent that. But in that sense, that's what I really don't go on Facebook or any of that. Like, and I deleted my, I only use it for the messages to kind of.
Yeah, like all the articles. So here's another advantage, brother. I don't mean to interrupt you, and I got to let Dave move on. But all of Dave's news articles that he mentions during the, it's all in a list, in a thread in BTR community, and only okay. members can really see, you know, those threads that he creates for the show.
Okay, I'm gonna get off and let you guys go ahead on then. Thank you, though.
Peace.
Hey, thank you, Wes. And, you know, real quick, I'm gonna go to Pastor in a second, but I just want to say, you know, one of the things that I greatly appreciate you, Wes, especially, you know, in Oakland, love Oakland, and wanted to tell you that. So definitely got to catch up when I'm back in Oakland. But, you know, we're different than, let's say, some of the mainstream media ones, such as, you know, not to pick on anyone, but I'll pick on them both, Lying Like a Fox and Cerebrally Naive Network. If you notice how those overall engagements with their callers and their guests are and the guests that they have, they have an at-your-throat overall mentality. They scream at each other. They talk over each other. They actually interrupt each other and everything else. And because that is an indoctrination that the system wants to have, an engagement that you have, to where you're not listening. All you're doing is making your point, and that your point and that your opinion is right, and you should defend it to death and everything else. That is not an engagement. That is actually a psychological way of actually getting people to always, always be in a violent confrontation. And we don't do that here. So very, very, very important. So, you know, just before we went to the commercial break, Pastor Keith wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Pastor Keith.
Hey, I wanted to comment on what Scotty said when he was talking about it tells you not to do that. I agree with him completely where it says to pray in your closet, et cetera, et cetera. But I think where I would have to add on is there's nothing wrong with public prayer. He wasn't getting on them for praying publicly. He was getting on them because they were praying publicly because their purpose of the prayer was to get the attention of me.
Well, that's what Scotty was saying.
I could have phrased it better, Keith, but I'm glad that you know, that gives me ability to clarification. So, like I say, you can't take prayer out of school. How can, you know, that's impossible, just like you can't take God out of school. How can you take an omnipresent, what you believe to be an omnipresent being, out of anywhere? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And me as an individual student, I can pray before my test. I'm about to tell you, and I did pray, you know, a couple of times. And, yo, let me, hey, dear Lord, let me ace this test. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's prayer in school. But no, what they're fighting for, this organized religion is fighting for, is compulsory prayer, forcing people, indoctrination. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I had the issue. And the same thing with the city council and the government and all this and that. You know, this is a land and this is a world where people have many different beliefs. And we ought to be able to coexist. But what we have is a government that says it's not a theology, but it endorses one religion. And then the religion that they endorsing, they're not even practitioners of, not the true believers, you know, and following the teachers of Christ. And therefore, they bring a bad name on all Christians. You know, a lot of people, it's a lot of anti-Christianity out there, especially for black people. I call it Afro-Christophobia. Because of the bad representations from these organized people. Afro-Christophobia.
See, and you know what? My man Wes said he writes better than he speaks. Wes, we understand everything that you're saying. You never, and no one ever has to worry about that when they call in, because we all. Let me tell you that when the sisters say you that there's no such word, yes, there is. See, language is communication, and we communicate very, very well here. I know what you're saying, and you communicate it. And Scotty and Keith, you're absolutely, because that's what Scotty was talking about, Keith, what you were pointing out, is doing that in a pompous way to invoke your authority over people instead of actually practicing the spirit, the overall spiritual intention of it all. It's
Did you call me pompous?
No, I didn't call you pompous. Because, you know, what practice is, what the practice of religion here and globally is war. And it's not just in one religion or one proclaimed religion. It's actually used in all of them. And they understand the power in that.
Well, you know, and I make this point often. I'll say this. I say the devil does his best work in the church. And I
say it this way, Keith. The devil always wears Sunday's best.
He does. And how I like to explain this is, according to the Christian religion, when you go back
to the spirit of the devil.
When the serpent first approached Eve, even before supposedly sin existed, he approached her with this. He said, "What did God say?" So from the very, very beginning, he cloaked whatever he was going to do. Supposedly, he cloaked it with the word, or with God.
Mm-hmm.
That was his premise. And this is twisted from there. So that's never changed.
Yeah. Very, very, very important. And so we'll probably have part two to this, but because it's very, very, you know, significant what we're talking about. And
I believe most people fail to realize that Christianity comes under a government order. So therefore, they feel that they can legislate it any way they want to. That's why they took it out of schools. That's actually why they're moving people into a one-world religion now. Because in reality, you follow the law. And they expect you to follow the law in this case also. I just wanted to add that.
Hey, thanks, yeah. Brother Davis. Let me say this though. When did they ever have God in school? What schools we talking about? In the United States? Because I can show you pictures of little American children in the 50s and in the 40s giving the Nazi salute. Matter of fact, that's where the Nazis got it from. That's why I say, why did the Nazis become the poster child? But these little children giving the salute, the you know, straight arm salute to the American flag. And then practicing racism and white supremacy against black folks and other non-white folks and stuff like that. So I don't know what God, you know, that they supposedly took out of school. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. What God did they take out of school? Because, you know, they've been practicing slavery, racism, and white supremacy their entire existence. But they go to church on Sunday. You know, whatever, you know.
Well, Scotty, you well said, bro, because, wait a minute, which one did they take out of school? So, because it's a very, very important topic, and we're going to pick up on this again, because we'll have a part two to this, because the real religion is war.
Let me add this, too, that they legislate God any way they want to on American soil. And that's why they think they're God. You don't have to listen to them. Like the brother said, judge them by their actions. That speaks for themselves.
Yeah, definitely. So, so true. And we will definitely pick up. And before we get out of here, I just really want to reemphasize this for today's show. Become who you were created to be, a grantor of prosperity. Very, very important. And prepare. And one of the forms of preparedness is that, are you meeting every living entity with meekness, with sovereignty, with respect. I'm not a respecter of person. I don't care if you have a title, a president, premier, king, queen. I don't respect your title. I'm not a respecter of person. I respect living entities. I respect people. So do that. And I think that as things start to become more difficult, it will be easier for us to be able to navigate those tumultuous and turbulent waters and obstacles. Start where you are every day. Every day. And you'll see something. Your whole life will change. How you look at things will change. The things that angered you before will have no grip on you. And you will be able to have clearer discernment. And at every opportunity, you charity and you donate love. But that does not mean that you allow yourself to be captured. And you defend yourself. But as Scotty said earlier, what was so cool, and we said it on Friday, let's not take things too extreme. Understand in discernment and stay within that scope. And even if someone is on the extreme, that doesn't mean that you have to give energy to that overall extreme direction. The less energy you give to it, probably the better. So much love, much respect. Before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Become meek and kind. It's healthy. It's in your best interest. And it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Great Creator willing. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.